started, the board's mission is to protect the health, welfare, and safety of the public who seek and use the services of nursing care institution administrators and assisted living facility managers. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.02, notice is hereby given to the members of the State of Arizona Board of Examiners of Nursing Care Institution Administrators and Assisted Living Facility Managers, the board, and to the general public that the board will hold a regular meeting, which is open to the public on Monday, May 8, 2023. Regular board meeting to be held at 1740 West Adams Street, Board Meeting Room C, Phoenix, Arizona, 85007 at 9 a.m. Is everybody in the right place? Okay. Persons with a disability may request a reasonable accommodation, such as a sign language interpreter, by contacting Jack Comfort at 602-542-8156 or through the Arizona Relay Service at 711. Please make your request as early as possible to allow time to arrange the accommodation. The board president reserves the right to change the order of the items listed in the agenda, except for matters scheduled at a specific time. Board members may be present by telephone, and I believe we have one person on the telephone today. During the course of the meeting, the board, upon the majority vote quorum of the members, may hold an executive session for the purposes of obtaining legal advice from the board's attorney on any matter listed on the agenda pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A3 and for the purpose of discussion or consideration of confidential material pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2. The executive session will be held immediately after the vote and will not be open to the public. As a reminder, the resident's name is always confidential. You may refer to the resident by their initials or by saying resident. Items that are referenced as a consent agenda may be considered as a single action unless a board member moves a specific item for review, discussion, and action separately from the other consent agenda items. The board will review, discuss, and may take action on the following matters listed on the agenda. The agenda for May 8, 2023, regular board meeting is as follows. Roll call.
Vice President Archer?
Here.
Member Campbell?
Here.
Member Hill?
Here.
Member Brimhall?
Here.
Member Cook?
Here.
Member Felix?
Here.
Member Coford?
Here.
Thank you. Number two is declaration of conflicts of interest. I have one from Member Brimhall for item C1. She will be recused. Any others?
Madam Vice President, we have one for Board Member Brimhall for case number 2022 NCI0508.
Yes. That's the same one. Oh, and I have another one for A3. A3 from Member Felix. Okay. Any others? Thank you. Call to the public. Persons who want to address the board do not need to request permission in advance, but they do need to complete a request to speak to the board form so that the board is aware that they are here and that they want to speak to the board. Each person who wants to address the board will be given 5 minutes to do so. However, the board may limit the number of persons speaking on each issue to a reasonable number of persons. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.02H, the board can discuss or take action only on matters that are listed on the agenda. Board action on issues that are not listed on the agenda is limited to directing the staff to study the matter or to schedule the matter for further discussion at a future board meeting. Moving on to four.
Excuse me a second.
Yes.
Is there anybody here for the call of public?
Oh, yeah. Anybody?
Are you here to for the agenda item?
Yes.
Okay. This is for folks that are not necessarily on the agenda but want to address the board. So if there's any folks here that want to address the board and they're not on the agenda, now is the appropriate time. Anybody? Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, review and discussion and possible action on approval of minutes. Board may vote to go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2 to discuss confidential information. ARS 38-431.0383 to receive legal advice. And it looks like we have several meeting minutes to approve. The first one is March, the meeting minutes from March 13, 2013.
Madam Vice President, if pleasure of the board can vote in these in a block vote if they want to.
Okay.
So if there's no changes, that's probably the easiest way to dispose of it.
I did have one thing to add to one of them, which is that on page 32 from March.
Okay, we can just take them separately then.
Well, okay.
Madam Chair, I just real quickly, I wasn't here in April, so I also wouldn't be able to vote on the April minutes, right?
Is that true?
Yes.
You can't vote? Okay.
So.
All right. So, the, I didn't write which one it was. There was one of the votes that didn't have anything recorded for me, which was on page 32. I didn't write the case number, but it was 6-0, but there was no vote showing for me.
Okay.
So if we could just add that, I think with that addition, can we approve the minutes from March 13th, 2023, including the executive session meeting of March 13th, 2023?
Is that a motion?
So moved. So moved. Do we need a roll call? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Same for not in favor? Okay, moving on. For April regular meeting minutes, April 10, 2023. Any corrections or additions?
So we approve the April minutes for April 10th, 2023.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Review, discussion, and possible action on administrator license and manager certification. Individual board review, consideration, and action on applicants, temporary and or permanent administrator license or manager certificate. If approved, pending passing all required examinations within the specified time frame, or the license or certificate will be denied. First up is Tito Gambantis. Tito.
I believe he's here. Come on up, sir.
Come on up.
Vice Chairman Archer, members of the board, this is an application review. It's case number 2023 NCI 0158. Tito Gambantis submitted an application for certification as an assistant living facility manager. He did disclose on his application he had a prior disciplinary action, and that was a surrender of his manager certificate. He was previously certified back, he was originally certified on March 14th of 2018. The board reviewed a complaint in September of 2021. Case number 2177 involved an ADHS compliance inspection for Vibrant Home in Phoenix. That inspection ended up in him signing a consent agreement for voluntary surrender of his license. I don't have it. The only other thing that of interest may be that when you have a revocation of your certificate, there's a mandatory 1 year waiting period before you can reapply. That 1 year has told, and he is before you today asking for approval of his manager certificate pending his passing of the Arizona examination. I don't have anything further unless you have any questions. And he's here to answer any questions you may have.
And so he has not passed. You have not taken the exam?
Well, I took, but it won't absorb because it was so depressing. And it's just a disaster. You know, I'm so confused. Here's the thing. On January 10, 2022,
so, Mr. DeMonte, I'm sorry for interrupting. Can you answer Vice President Archer's question?
Yes, I did.
You passed the exam?
No, I didn't.
You need to take our exam.
Okay. Yes, I was. Okay. You said I was to be scheduled on July 6th, 2023.
Oh, okay. So your schedule coming up in July.
Can I have the floor to...
You will, yes, in a minute.
So, to be clear, I believe applicant DeMontes took the test last Thursday, correct?
Yes, sir.
And you did not pass. You failed that exam, correct?
Yes, I did.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's ask a few questions. Anybody have question or comment?
Well, I feel that since he didn't pass, I think that I'd rather have him pass the test than come back again before the board to reapply for his license because he's not qualified yet to be licensed yet.
Well, we could do a pending passing the exam, and is that appropriate or should we postpone and have him come back after?
Madam Vice Chair, members of the board, I will just defer. Is it your practice to go ahead and approve the application subject to successfully passing the exam, and if not passed, then to deny? Have you done that?
Vice President Archer, members of the board, the way this has evolved over the last year and a half is that we try to bring applications to the board whether or not they've taking the test because we only give that test once a month. So we've done it both ways, but our practice is when they're administratively complete, when they have everything else that they may be required to have, manager certificate, caregiver certificate, all the other fingerprint clearance card, everything else checked off, we allow them to test. So if you were to approve it today, we would not issue that certificate until he passed the exam. We try to speed up the process a little and be in front of the testing so that we can get the license or certificate out quicker. That's the evolution of it.
And I understand that, and I would agree with that. But however, he did take the test and he did not pass the test this last week.
Correct.
So that's my concern. He's been, not a manager for a year, so it's telling me he needs a little bit more skill set.
Madam Vice President, quick question too about the record here, maybe for the director of Phil. So I'm a little confused about the series of events leading up to the surrender of the license. So there was an inspection, a failure to respond, and then a consent agreement. Is that?
Well, if you give me just word to hear my side, because on January 10, 2022, Elizabeth Ronald called me that my license is going to be revoked.
And I said, what's the reason why they did not revoke my license? Because of the deficiency at the background. And I said, I have already completed the plan of corrections. And that was June 8th of 2021, the state comes and, you know, my involvement on that hearing was limited. It was limited because I was confined in the hospital for COVID. And my health is declining. And at that time, there is no vaccinations available. So the doctor put some chemical on my body. Out of five, I'm the only one who survived. So I'm so lucky that I survived. And then, so my involvement at the Vibrant Unlimited, then the owner hired somebody to replace me, but my license is still there. I told them, it's going to happen, this one, if you're not going to listen to me, that the caregiver is not qualified. I told him, no, we cannot do that because I don't have money. Well, it's my license hanging here. And you are not following the state law. I'll be the one in big trouble. And it happens. So the owner hurt somebody, but my license is there. I know I'm going to be in big trouble. And it happened. So at that time, the state comes, but I'm the one answer all the deficiency. My deficiency is more, it's not really a criminal, or it's not, it's just like that there's no alarm. It's very simple. So I completed, and the caregiver there, I know, I said, we need to fire him because he's not qualified. And then,
I apologize for interrupting. And I understand you're very passionate about what happened in the past. Unfortunately, we're not here to we're not here to relitigate what happened before you voluntarily signed the consent agreement to surrender. In response to your question, Board Member Hill, we had set up an administrative hearing. I believe that it was a motion to deem. That didn't happen, and we were getting ready to hold the hearing, and the board offered the consent agreement for voluntary surrender, and he signed it. And again, from my position, those facts are on his feet.
Sure. Thank you, Director. I'll say, Madam Vice President, that I would rather see this candidate come back after he has passed the test versus providing the conditional approval as we sometimes do. So I'm struggling to have confidence that he's prepared to re-enter the industry. I'm sorry, Director, one last question. So if at some point the board does approve the license, would the prior consent agreement still be attached to the applicant's record here, or would it be a new license?
Vice President Archer, members of the board, Board Member Hill, it's considered a disciplinary action. So as far as our records retention, that never goes away.
Okay.
This has been reported to the National Practitioner Data Bank and will stay there on as a legacy.
Okay. Record. Thank you.
Any other questions for our respondent here? So we have, of course, the notion that we, instead of giving a provisional now pending passing the exam, that we hold and have him come back after he passes the exam. Is that what the motion that you would like to make?
That is a motion I'd like to make. So what we'll do if our motion is we will table this until
such time
that he's passed the test and will come back upon the agenda.
Okay. Any seconds?
Second.
Member Brimholm?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
So applicant Montes, what the board has done is they've kind of slowed down the process of your application a little. They want you to take the test again, pass that before they
decide. I don't know if I have that energy to, I don't know if I have that energy to pass my examination because it hasn't absorbed me because I was really, you know.
So
I did not voluntarily surrender my license. I was forced to surrender my license.
Okay.
If I was given, because based on the book, you have 35 days to reply. I did in 3 days. Then I'm waiting for 20 days that they're going to send me to defend myself, but I was not given that chance. And how could I take the examinations that you aren't prepared? No, I'm not. Because I was not given the chance to appear in this NCI board, my side. I'm sorry, whoever. I'm so sorry, but I'm so depressed. I don't know what to say.
We understand, and this is
I'm sorry,
a lot to deal with. Okay.
I'm so sorry, but
so
it's not
your options at this point is to take the next test, which will be
June 1st.
And or you can schedule for the next one, which would be
July 6th,
and study and pass. Or if not passing, you'll still come back.
Well,
and we will decide if we're going to grant you another certificate.
Mama,
Vice President Archer, just in staff can handle those kinds of questions with the applicant because there's time frames involved with the application, which affect whether or not somebody can take the exam. But we'll handle those questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up is Jennifer Koda. Hi. Did I say that right?
Yeah. Good job.
Okay.
You're correct.
Madam Vice Chair, members of the board, this is another application review, case number 2023, NCI-0199, with applicant Koda. The reason that we brought this to you is that she has applied for her nursing care administrator license. She also now holds a manager certificate. Does have a current fingerprint clearance card that was issued. The reason for the review today is some past criminal arrests and convictions from back in 2005, and she explains what happened there on her application and did disclose the majority of that with her application for the administrator license. The conclusion from the investigator in this is that the administrator license should be issued because of the time frame back in 2005, and she has taken positive steps, made responsible decisions since that time to better her life and her career. The recommendation is to issue the administrator license. I don't have anything further on answer to questions.
That her file is administratively complete.
Yes.
Hi.
Hello.
I guess we'll see. Does anybody have questions based on this file we have in front of us for this?
President, I was very impressed with Ms. Koda because she furnished all the documents that support what happened, the rebuttal narrative for what happened, and about a paragraph or two about proceeding with life now. So I do thank you for being present today and for sharing and being so transparent.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments, or make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we grant her a license.
Second.
For a nursing home license.
Administrator. Oh, administrator.
Administrator license, yeah.
Second.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Just a quick reminder, please put all your cell phones on silent. That was your part. That was your little party. Okay. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you.
And working hard. All right. Next up to consider for a certificate is Denise Pong. Did I say that right?
Denisa.
Denisa.
It's like Denise with A.B.
Denisa Pong.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you. Bantam Pong means peacock in Romanian.
You what?
I've been laughed a lot. It's peacock.
Peacock.
Yeah, in Romanian.
Oh, okay.
Imagine my childhood.
Madam Vice Chair, members of the board, this is an application review for a manager certificate, case number 2023 NCI 0217. Applicant Pond is here. On February 6th of 2023, the applicant submitted an application for an assisted living facility manager certification. The applicant had previously held a manager certificate that was issued back in 2012. That certificate number 10539 was revoked by the board on October 25th of 2017. Applicant Pond does have a current fingerprint clearance card that expires in 2027. The application is currently administratively complete. And as previously mentioned, she did disclose this on her application. She has been working as a caregiver up until January of 2023 since that time. The timeline of the investigation is quoted in the investigator report. Started with a DHS inspection back in 2016. And the board held a formal hearing in October 2017 and voted to revoke that certificate. The applicant does have a response to that and things that were going on in her personal life during that time, which is, again, it's on page 171 of your materials. Since that time, it's been approximately 5 years since she told that. Since that time, she hasn't had any other brushes with us as a caregiver. The recommendation in this case is that the board approve the application for the manager certificate. I don't have anything else unless you have any questions at this time.
It looks, from what you've written and what we understand, the failure mostly was about you informing this board that you were supposed to not be the certified manager after you left the country. And so the homeowner there continued to keep your certificate up, which gave you kind of that responsibility. So you didn't inform the board, and I guess with an emergency situation, you didn't go take your piece of paper off the wall. And then from there, as we were trying to notify, you weren't available. You were out of the country. So here we are 5 years later, and you decide to go for this again. Can you tell us what is different this time and how you are planning to use your certificate?
So I think now I have like more experience, I'm more mature, and I know that I have to inform the board of, I mean, even if I didn't have time to take my license, at least I should have emailed you. which I didn't. So I know it's my fault for not doing that. I also had a designated manager, and again, the communication between us when it was not the best. I didn't even know we had an inspection, to be honest with you, until too late. So after that, I didn't know what to do, and everybody kind of scared me that you guys are frightened, to be honest. And I'm like, okay, so I'm not going to take any action. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to do anything, because I could have, when I got back, I could have, like, write to you guys and try to come in front of you and explain what happened. But I was like, you know, this happened, and I'm going to give up. So now I think I know what to do and, you know, express my case and, you know, answer questions.
Okay. Any other questions?
I just want to say thank you for being out there, being a caregiver. You didn't give up on the industry, and you didn't give up on us, so I appreciate that.
We're really not that mean.
No.
We have a motion.
I have a motion to approve this application.
I second.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. I believe we're going to jump ahead a little bit to, where we are. Agreement.
I'm Vice Chair. Yeah, if we can, if we, next item is actually agenda item 6A, and I know we have at least one person here with a legal representative. So my suggestion would be to head in that direction for now, and then we can jump ahead to B or C after that.
Okay. Yes. So would that be number 10?
Yes. Next case is going to be Bonnie Hollibaugh, case number 2022, NCI 0558.
Both of you. Yes, I'm Heather Bonke on behalf of Bonnie Hollibaugh. And I'm Bonnie Hollibaugh. Thank you. And this is complaint 2022-NCI-0558. Licensee is Bonnie Hollibaugh, who's present here today with her attorney, Heather
Bonke.
And on August 10th, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility complaint investigation at Silver Creek in Memory Care Community located in Mesa. The complaint investigation identified 6 deficiencies in 5 different areas. Ms. Hollibaugh was notice of the complaint, and she did provide a written response. It is noted that subsequent to this case being assembled, Ms. Bonke forwarded to Board's Executive Director an additional supplement to the response, which should be in your packet for this case, or you should have received an email to that effect. Now, on approximately October 18, 2022, DHS took enforcement action. They imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 for 2 substantiated violations, and Ms. Hollibaugh is here today to discuss the matter.
Thank you. If I could make kind of a housekeeping and kind of preceding comment before Ms. Hollibaugh answers any questions, that would be great.
Okay.
If it pleases everyone. First of all, I want to say thank you. If you've had the opportunity to take a look at the supplement, there's response that we provided last week, we discovered kind of late in the game that the board does not have everything that ADHS has with regard to the statement of deficiencies. And so we wanted to provide some of that information in addition to some further information that the board did not have in Ms. Hollabaugh's defense. And so some of that is included in the supplemental response that we submitted. Further, we have also noted in footnotes areas in which if the board feels that it would be useful to have additional information in order to make a fair and independent decision, we would be happy to provide additional information and documentation in order to for you to or to provide edification to the board before it makes any decision that may be a legacy for Ms. Hollabaugh on her license. From what we understand, the only thing that the board has is the statement of deficiencies, Ms. Hollabaugh's response, obviously our supplemental response, and the civil money penalty. And there were a number of other documents that were cited in the statement of deficiency that we have supplied in the supplement, and so that may help everyone to make a better informed decision. With that, I am done with my proceeding.
Thank you.
Yes.
I guess we're open for questions here.
Madam Vice President, I have a question. Thank you for being here in person. Can you talk to me a little bit about the surveyor's finding that a resident was being restrained? Am I on the right?
That's not our case.
No.
Okay.
This was the one where there were three citations that concerned a lady named I.J. Who had eloped from the facility in August 2022, and then three of the deficiencies were concerning completely alternative matters.
Fall and CQR on this case.
The materials for this start on page 573.
Right.
And if the board remembers, I sent out an email
Saturday
morning with the supplemental information. I got it out as soon as I could. Not a lot of time to review it, but.
Okay, so. Well, my apologies, I misread that paragraph. It says the manager accepted and retained an individual who required continuous behavioral health services for 1 in 10 residents. Sorry, I read that as restrained. Were you able to later on, I believe, establish that it was an appropriate placement for that particular resident?
That's correct. When the resident came into our building, it was basically a miscommunication with the doctor and the doctor's misunderstanding of what continuous behavioral health services meant because we were in a memory care building.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that was identified, we were able to go back to the doctor, explain what that is, and they resubmitted documentation to show that it was an appropriate placement.
Okay, thank you. That was my only question. Thank you.
Was that ever established exactly which door was propped open, which egress was used? Because I know there was some confusion in there about that and whether the alarm on the door was in working order.
When the Department of Health and APS came into our building and checked all of our alarms, everything at the time was in working order. We cannot determine for 100% certainty which door was egressed, unfortunately.
But everything was in working order.
Correct.
On those investigations. Other questions?
No, I think that they did a good job of the submittal on Saturday.
citations will get put in place, not just to Department of Health Services, but also the NIC board here.
Anyone else? Conversations?
I guess I would just ask,
so what is the outcome you're seeking?
So obviously, I think at this point, if you look at what is unprofessional conduct, which I think is the crux of what is going on in this particular case, what we have to determine whether it exists or it isn't, none of the examples of unprofessional conduct as defined in ARS 36446 are really applicable except for potentially incompetency / gross negligence. We know that she didn't have express or show any gross immorality or proselytizing religious views or dishonesty, fraud, anything like that. And also there's no evidence that she abused her official responsibilities in any way like intimidating or neglecting patients. So really the only thing left is, was she incompetent or grossly negligent? We obviously believe that there's no reason to find against her with regard to that, take any action against her license, because none of these reach the level of incompetence or gross negligence. Obviously it wasn't an outcome that they're happy about, and they certainly took that seriously by, you know, changing some of the things that they had done to make sure that that didn't happen. Ms. Colvo would tell you that since she's been administrator at the facility, this is the only time that anything like this has ever happened on her watch. And so it's definitely was concerning to them. They've done what they can to try to identify what it was that caused it and to in-service everyone to try to make sure that it doesn't happen again. Unfortunately, sometimes you don't know what goes on with some of these people, and did they, you know, try to get out behind somebody? Did they, you know, was a door even propped? It was an error in the statement of deficiencies, indicating that it was Ms. Hollibaugh that said that a door was propped. It was actually apparently an employee who had mentioned that, and that has never been confirmed determined to be accurate. That's what happened. There was, you know, potentially the latch didn't latch all the way, so they made sure that maintenance addressed that immediately. And so, it's unfortunate that these things happen when they do, but Ms. Hollibaugh can explain to you if she wants to give her two cents on it, what she has done to try to make sure that that doesn't happen again. So if the board doesn't find that this actually reaches the level of gross negligence or incompetency, then yes, the board can submit a letter of concern. But again, we are talking about the legacy of her license and this following her for the rest of her career. And we really don't believe that any of these really reached that level, given the facts surrounding each one of the allegations. And so all of that is outlined in the supplemental response. We'd be happy to go into any further details on that, and for anyone who has not had the opportunity to review that yet as well.
Okay, thank you. I guess one question. So you said you had maintenance. Are these self-latching doors the ones that are locked for egress? Are they self-latching, self-closing?
Yes.
Okay, and was that something that was fixed, or was that always the case?
No, those have always been that way. And as soon as we, you know, were alerted that that may have been the case, that there was an issue with that door, we, you know, sent our maintenance guy down and he checked it out and made sure that everything was in complete working order as soon as we were aware that that was a possibility.
I think counsel is right in that we cannot necessarily prevent every single accident from taking place. And we've seen this before. I don't know ultimately the solution is. It's already a locked facility. We are to create something that's not institutionalized as much as possible. So I'm not sure how this could have been avoided.
Well, I have a question for you. Do you do regular inspections of your doors? Do you now have that on your QA?
We do, and always have. I mean, that's not something that has changed as far as that goes. We've always had regular checks of all of our doors, the door alarms, the window alarms, everything that we have is subject to regular inspection and just making sure that it's all in working order.
Great. As you onboard new caregivers, everybody's different to your community, how often do you complete elopement drills for the safety of your residents and employees?
We do elopement drills monthly at minimum.
Well, I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 2022-MCI-0558 against manager Bonnie Hollibaugh.
Madam Vice President, before we move on the motion, am I allowed to ask a question at this point or wait for a second?
Point of order, yeah, we should have a second.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I will second. And now we can have a discussion before we vote.
Thank you. The resident who managed to get away, if you will, how long was this resident missing? I'm not sure the right word to use, wandering.
It was identified right before breakfast that she was not in the building. And that was when we started checking the building, alerting police, doing all of those kinds of things. It was early afternoon, I believe, when she was found.
Madam Chair, I'll just say real quickly so that you know ahead of the vote. The memory care, of course, is not a regulatory definition. It's a concept of care that is much needed and appreciative of facilities who provide that level of care for residents. I do think it has a higher standard of making sure your residents haven't fallen out of bed or wandered around or any of those things. I would be more comfortable with the letter of concern, but understand the will of the board is the will of the board. But I wanted to put that on record. Thank you.
Okay. So the motion in front of us, however, at this point, is to dismiss. We have a first and a second. Roll call.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Hill?
No.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Okay, we will go back to item 6A1 with Vic Gutierrez.
Page 189.
Can you state your name for our record, please?
Hi, good morning. My name is Vic Gutierrez.
Thank you.
Hey, this is complaint 2022-NCI-0350. Licensee is Vic Gutierrez, who is present here today. And on June 9, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at St. Walter Group Home LLC, located in Tempe. The compliance inspection identified 10 deficiencies in 6 different areas. 2 of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Mr. Gutierrez was noticed of the complaint, and he did provide his written response. It was on July 13, 2022, when DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,750 for 6 substantiated violations. 2 of those violations were repeats. And Mr. Gutierrez is here today to discuss the compliance inspection report.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's start with the house. Is this a home or a center?
No, home.
And how many license sets?
Before I disclose anything, I had to notify you that if I have typical response on the questions, not because I have a bad memory. It's because this home, I haven't been a manager for the last 8-9 months. So I have some difficulty responding to the questions. My memory not being so clear. But you asked me how many residents the license for? Seven.
Okay. And how many, do you remember how many were present during this survey?
At least 5.
If it helps, Ms. Vice President,
yep.
When he responded, it was licensed for 10 and there were 9.
So, my apologies.
Licensed for 10 and there were 9 residents.
I do manage another home, so I might get information mixed up. And my apologies.
Okay. And so you said you haven't had your certificate hanging there for 8 or 9 months now?
Approximately, yes.
Okay. Do you happen to recall how much time you spent at this home with 7 or 10, 9 or 5 residents?
Normally, it varies, but I will say normally, in general, 20 to 30 hours. Sometimes even weekends, in the afternoon.
And so are you currently managing 2 properties?
Correct, yes.
2 homes?
Yes.
Some other questions?
President, may I ask a question? You say that your memory's a little foggy about what happened, but did you write the plan of correction and submit it to Department of Health Services?
Personally, hand deliver or send it? No, I did not send a plan of correction. I was part of the plan of correction. Together, I worked with the owner. But most of the owner who was completely plan correction.
Don't you understand your license is hanging there and you're fully responsible for what you could have done in the plan of correction?
Correct, yes. I do try my best to be part of the plan of correction because there could be some information omitted or incorrect. So no, I understand that completely. There could be a misinterpretation in the plan of correction what to really happen. And in that part, I understand that we have a mistake if the board receives the wrong information.
And you're still paying your license at this home?
No, I'm not.
Before you left that home, how many hours a week were you spending at that home?
Normally between 20 and 30 hours. Present there?
Yeah, when you were paying your license at that home? Because you were paying your license in 2 homes, correct?
Back in that time, and I
correct.
This property is Sid Walker. I mean, home is Sid Walker. Yeah, normally I would be 20, 30 hours because there's still a home and in between personal matters, but 20 to 30 hours, I would say. For different reasons, that includes the owner telling me not that she has it under control. I get personal matters too, but in general, 20 to 30 hours that I will be in that home. If I was absent, I would ask someone to send me at least. We have technology, so at least you should keep me posted on emails or send me attachments to revise documents.
How long did you hang your license at that home?
Almost a year, I would say. No less than 6 months, but no more than a year. So I would say almost a year.
So you were there during one survey?
Correct, yes.
But you had the survey from the year before, so you knew the citations, so the deficiencies that they were going that were prior to the last survey.
Yes. And I made that my mistake having those deficiencies repeated because I feel like I'm a little bit lenient sometimes with the owner, and that means that I trust her that everything will be fine. And yes, you're correct.
So you're telling me you paid your license down on 2 homes, correct?
Yes, not related to S.T. Walker, currently.
At the time of the survey,
who was doing the hiring?
The owner. But I was most of the time the owner.
Most of the time the owner. And what practice did you have once the owner said, okay, now we have somebody who's going to work here, what did you do next?
My part was to train them to ensure they have the skills, knowledge, and pull out the orientation, skills, knowledge. Well, that's what I call it in my part, the form, and see what they do, how they do it, and train them. Train them for at least, I would say, 3 days.
And did your part have anything to do with checking their file? Did the owner hand it off to you? And who verified fingerprint card? Who verifies the caregiver certificate, which was missing?
I do verifications. Well, together, but I also do verifications.
So the citation for an assistant who was not working under direct supervision, how did that happen?
The owner does have acquaintance that she feels comfortable hiring. So, like I said, I do the training. I also have to revise documents, and I revise them. But unfortunately, there are times when I revise documents and I could miss something, or also, again, I'm too lenient sometimes. I'm too flexible with her, where she says, well, she's an acquaintance, she will get it to me, don't worry, just hire her. And then that's pending. That's pending, and she will get all the documents ready and allow her to. Of course, I understand that the caregiver must have a certificate, that's for sure. But other documents, such as a fingerprint or TB test, will come in the next 2 days, for example. And between other matters, I might have forgotten that we still need a completion of a file. And I move on to something else, and that file is not complete. An employee file, I mean. An employee file is not complete. After that, employee is working. And I feel that, yeah, that's I should be more adamant, more firm in saying if an employee doesn't have all the files, then let's not hire the employee. But yeah, that was a mistake to just continue with that employee and wait for the employee to send all the files.
I'm going to go ahead and make a motion. Based upon the information contained in this investigation report, I move that the board find significant evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3 and ARS 446-10AAR-4-33-407A and B1. For unprofessional conduct in the complaint number 2022-0350 and involving manager Vic J. Contreras, and the board offers a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days that this matter will be forwarded to the formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Probation to be completed within 3 months. Reimburse the investigation cost of $547.59. Complete a 40-hour manager program that is approved by the executive director, and you need to get it pre-approved prior. Successfully pass the state exam for manager's administration by the board. These credit hours that you take will not be part of your renewal of your manager certification. And any cost of probation of these of the license is on the holder.
And
one second, please.
Was this suspension of the certificate but stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met?
Correct, because that's currently the probation.
Right.
That he has the 10 days to sign the consent.
Okay. And did you add investigative cost?
I did. $547.50.
Thank you. And we have a second from Member Cook. Roll call, please.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
So the board's may have voted off you with consent agreement for disciplinary action to resolve this.
No one knows.
Well, I'll send it out to you within the next probably week or 10 days.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thanks for attending.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, Campbell.
My apologies. Member Campbell?
Campbell, aye. Campbell, aye.
Thank you. Okay, and I'm confused about number two. Is this something we're hearing? Sylvie Nugent?
No, that has been removed from the agenda. She was postponed to the June meeting, and I didn't get it off all the materials.
All right. Okay, then we're moving on to number three, Seth Amalo.
Okay, this is complaint 2022-NCI-0523. Licensee is Seth Amalo, who is present here today. On August 4, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Alert Adult Care located in Glendale. The compliance inspection identified 12 deficiencies in 7 different areas. One of the deficiencies was a repeat deficiency. Mr. Amalo was noticed of the complaint and he did provide staff his written response. Approximately October 24, 2022, DHS took enforcement action and they imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 for 2 substantiated violations, and one of those violations was a repeat, and Mr. Amalo is here today to discuss the compliance inspection with the board.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Amalo, is this a home?
Yes, ma'am.
Setting? And licensed for how many?
10.
Okay. And do you recall how many were present at the time of the inspection?
6.
There's kind of a vast array of these deficiencies in that they're in several different categories. I guess what I would like to know is what are you doing differently now that is keeping this from happening again? Several of these involve overall safety of the residents, which I would believe would be fairly concerning. So what are you doing differently?
So I'm not fully managing the home because I'm a full-time PhD student. The owner do most of the day-to-day operation, but at least once a week I go in to check it. Most of these complaints, especially the ones that coming out as a repeat, these are things that have been mitigated. These are things that we talked about. I've written a formal complaint to the DHS about this particular survey, about these things. Like the things that she's alleging that are repeated, it is something like the home has a bulletin board that all the documents are posted. And during COVID, the owner organized a small table for sanitation. And now the board was moved and placed behind the door so that when you open the door goes against the board. And every time, and this is something that the owner has complained about the character of this particular surveyor, she's very condescending. Every time she comes in, like she wanted a document that she had insisted to be on the wall. And now this document was on the wall, and when you open the door, she couldn't see the document. And when the owner said, okay, let me get the file, she was like, no, I don't want it, you're going to change the document. So it is always like a go-to moment. We understand the surveyors normally come to the house so that they can help to improve if there is any problem. But if a surveyor only comes to get you every time that is what they're coming for, then it's business purpose.
Well, I can certainly appreciate the sentiment that goes behind that. However, they are the regulatory agency that is, unfortunately, that is their job, is to regulate us. What have you done differently? You've just stated that you don't spend that much time overseeing the operations of this care home because you have other involvement.
I mean the home every week.
Okay.
Every Saturday, I'm in the house the whole day. And I make sure that if there is a new employee, I go through their paperwork. The owner does the hiring, but I make sure that their caregiver certificates are right, their fingerprints are right. If there is an intake of a new resident, I make sure that the plan of care, the service plan, is done properly. The meal roast and everything, I'm always in the house at least 8 hours a week. So if there is, I understand it is their job to regulate. I understand it is their job to make sure everything is done right. We always strive to remain in compliance. But if it's just a gotcha moment, it is difficult because, for example, there was a time the fire extinguisher had holes that were poked on it. And she said, we poked the holes. I didn't even know that the fire extinguisher, they have to poke the holes on that piece of paper. You know? And like the last time she wanted the disaster plan that was not on that wall, was on a fire, she wouldn't even give the owner that opportunity to go get the copy to give it to her. So I think the two of them have their issues going on, but now it is coming to affect me as an individual. And I wrote a formal complaint because this is not the first time.
So, I sorry for interrupting. So did any of these deficiencies actually occur, or you don't agree with any of them?
Some, yes. Like, for example, when she said when she walked in, there was a small packet of medication. A resident was being given the medication, then the resident at that time decided to go to the bathroom. And then while in the bathroom, the resident called for help, and that is the time the surveyor walked in. There was a that was there. We agreed to that, and that one was corrected. And the caregiver was re-educated on that you cannot leave medication lying even if you have to help a resident in the bathroom.
Okay. What about the rest of them? So that was one.
Yes.
What about the rest of the deficiencies that DHS took an enforcement action on?
Yeah, so there was a complaint on the beds. So we have residents who walk from room to room getting stuff. Then we have those small beds that these residents sometimes need assistance with. So she walks into one room and there was no bed. There is an alarm door behind the door. The door going to the back of the house, there is an alarm. So every time you open that door, that alarm goes back and forth. And we had a resident who was always screaming when that the alarm door was off. So we reduced the volume of the alarm door. Another thing was,
can I interrupt? You reduce the volume to barely that you could hear it?
No, you can hear it.
Completely?
No. It was like 10, and it was reduced to like 6. It still chimes when somebody opens the door. It chimes, but it is not as loud as it was before.
And the surveyor didn't like that?
No.
But it was still chiming.
Yes. She didn't even want to listen to the reason behind it. because she just opened the door and it was not chiming as loud as she normally does. And she didn't want to listen to the reason.
Is the chime at the point of contact, or do you have, if the caregiver is in the back of the house or the other side of the house or whatever the circumstances, would they be able to hear that chime?
Correct.
At level six?
Yes.
No matter where they are in the house?
They will. It is just not as loud like it used to be. Ding dong, like, no, it's not as loud. It's louder.
And what about the repeat deficiencies?
The repeat deficiency, like I say, for example, what she was complaining was about the emergency preparedness. That paper was always posted on the bulletin board. And when the bulletin board was moved from where it was initially to where if you open the door leans against the board, she couldn't see it there. So we had removed that and put it on a file. And when the owner explained that, I removed it here because you couldn't see it here. Let me go get it. And she's like, no, you can't go get it. If it is not here, I don't want to see it. Probably you're going to change it. And so why are you asking for it if you don't want it, if you don't want it to go get it?
If I can add something here. If board members would read the full deficiency explanation for the repeats, it will explain to you why DHS took the action.
Yeah. And were you the manager at the time the survey from August 26, 2021?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Did you have a question?
How long have you been a manager?
Since 13.
And you just said you're there one day a week and you're a full-time student?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I've not been in this house since 2013.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So how many other places have you worked at?
How many other places have I worked at yet? I've worked at so many places.
Okay.
I've been a manager since 2013.
But you're only there one day.
For this house, I'm just helping this lady, but I'm just there one time a week because I'm a full-time PhD student.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I spend 8 hours on that day that I go there.
Mm-hmm. So you are the manager, hanging the license on the wall. You are responsible for the day-to-day operation.
Correct.
And you think being there one day a week is sufficient?
Because it might not be sufficient, but because the owner is, she's a registered nurse. The owner is, she manages the things, but I trust her, but I go there for 8 hours to verify that, make sure that everything is in order.
Are you still, is your certificate still at this home?
Yes, ma'am.
And do you have a second one out?
No.
No, you just manage one home?
Yes.
Member Coford, do you have a question? Or are you making a motion?
I do have one quick question, Madam Vice President. What is the issue with the care plan that wasn't updated for the resident? What a change in circumstance?
So the resident went to the hospital, and when she went to the hospital, she was in the hospital for 3 days, then went to the rehab for a few days. And when she came back, because the family took her, by the time she was not in the care home. So when she came back, the owner called the nurse to come reevaluate the resident because the care had changed. She came back with some kind of wound, so there were some changes that were to be made. But the family member who was supposed to come and sign the care plan had not signed it yet. So there was a change, but it was not effected because it had not been signed.
Madam Vice President, I would just like to say that I think there's just a little bit too much of a lack of focus on the detail to keep the home running safely and keep things on track. And as is the case with most of our consent agreements, we're simply asking for some additional training to make sure you're prepared to provide the kind of support that a manager is supposed to provide. You're the one who is responsible for making sure all the little things get done right every day. And when you hang your license, that's what you agree to. So I'll just say, Madam Vice President, I'm comfortable with staff's recommendation in this consent agreement.
Any other comments?
Member Brumhall, sorry, what page 232?
232, sorry.
Madam Vice President, I'll make a motion based upon the information contained in the investigative report. I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 446-11, in AACR 4-33-407A1, from professional conduct and complaint number 2022-0523 involving manager Seth Amalo, and the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of certificate of state of suspension with probation on all the terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs of $524.82. And additional training in ethics, environmental standards, emergency preparedness, any and all costs of probation are there for those of the certificate or license.
Thank you. For each of those, was that 3 hours of continuing education?
3 hours.
In those categories, ethics, environmental standards, emergency, disaster preparedness.
Yes, 3 hours in each of those areas.
And are they to count toward renewal or no?
I do not see that here, Madam Chair.
No, something like that is something.
But I would say yes, that it can count towards
renewal.
My staff has another recommendation. I don't see it in here.
Your second?
Yeah.
Or somebody want to add to?
Well, we don't routinely. This is discipline.
This is discipline, so it really shouldn't count.
Yes.
Okay. So it does not count.
And then the motion that it will not count.
Okay.
Thank you.
And a second from Brumhall.
Member Brumhall? Excuse me. Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Brumhall?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Nay.
Motion passes.
Mayor Germano, the board just voted to offer you a consent agreement to resolve what they see as the allegations of violations in there. Staff will send that out to you within the next week or so.
Okay.
So it's a consent agreement. You choose whether or not to accept it. If you don't accept it, it will go on through the process. And we would have a hearing in front of the board in the future. All right. Thank you for coming down today. Madam Vice Chair, members of the board, we have made some changes to the this recommendation sheet. It's just going to take a little while to catch up. We didn't go back and change the continuing education part of it, so.
And
we are cognizant of it.
And this report was written 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Right.
So just to let you know. Thank you.
I just added it in when I didn't see it, so.
Yeah.
In reference to whether it counts toward renewal hours?
Yes.
Right. It's in the box for the other items, and then I specifically added that in.
Starting next month, and we'll probably be a couple of them today. That will be on the floor.
Okay.
Our next case has it.
Okay. All right, looks like we are up to number four, Jared Bakiri Ogati. I don't believe I have them signed in, so we will, are we going to move on?
Yeah.
And come back to that one after?
Yes.
Okay. John Dignoti?
Dignoti,
beg your pardon.
No, that's fine. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay,
state
your name for the record, please.
John S. Dignoti.
Page 354.
Okay.
Help. Okay, this is complaint 2022-NCI-0539. The SEC is John Dignoti, who's present here today. On September 1st, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Carolyn Care Assisted Living in Scottsdale. Compliance inspection identified 13 deficiencies in 9 different areas. Mr. Dignoti was noticed of this complaint and he did provide a certain response. On approximately October 25th, 2022, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for one substantiated violation. And Mr. Dignoti is here today to discuss the matter.
Is this a home, a house?
Yes, it is.
Okay, license for how many?
10.
And how many were present at survey?
7.
Again, we kind of have a wide. How long have you been the manager here?
Carolyn is the new, fairly new facility. It just opened, so that was our first inspection.
How long by the time the Department of Services gave you your license before they had served 12 months, 18 months?
You know, I'm not sure, to be honest, with that question. All I know is that I hung the license and it wasn't very long after. Well, they did the initial, you know how they do the initial.
So were you there during the initial survey? You helped start at the home and everything?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So this wasn't your first survey that you've gone through?
I guess not. No, it would be the second one. Sorry.
Okay.
And so you're new as a manager?
No, I've been a manager for quite a few years. This is not my first house that I've ran or have operated.
Everybody is hot and heavy about this fall, our fall prevention and fall recovery program. How is it that that was not present?
Yes, it was overlooked for sure. It was overlooked by me and by the owner as well. So all I can say is I apologize that it wasn't in place. And as soon as I was aware that it was not in place, took steps and measures to make sure that it was put in place and that this deficiency wouldn't happen again.
Did you evaluate the policy and procedures upon hanging your certificate?
Yes, I did, and so I did miss that it was not in there. That's correct.
Other questions? What are you doing with the continuous medical services, the 90-day evaluation, or up to the day of move-in to say that a doctor has said that they don't need continuous medical services, restraints, behavioral?
Right, we created documents that kind of like tick the box where we don't have that we make sure that we have it now. So it's in place now, so we won't have that reoccurring situation.
Have you had that at other homes in the past?
I have not, no.
Okay.
I've never been in front of the board before either. Just
we see that.
Just as a notice.
I guess my concern for that would be that that's been there for years. So yes. If you have managed other homes,
that is correct.
It somehow didn't get picked up in survey. But since the survey, that document has been implemented,
yes,
in place, signed.
I'm sorry for interrupting. Manager Kamadi, did you have a consent agreement in front of this board way back when? Does that sound familiar? I just heard you say that you've never been in front of this board. I just want to make sure.
I don't recall being in front of the board. I've been a manager for quite some time.
Back in 2016? Madam Vice Chair, members of the board, I'm looking at page 356 of the investigative report. It does have a prior board action disclosed from back in 2016. It looks like there's a consent agreement.
Again, I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's been such a long time that I would not remember that.
Okay.
It's definitely, if it's there, it's there. So, but I apologize. I didn't mean to give you misinformation.
And I wasn't saying that you did that. I was more just kind of refresh your memory.
Absolutely, I appreciate that.
We would have been in a different building at that time.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's for sure.
In that basement.
But maybe you didn't come before the board. Maybe they sent you the email.
That's possible as well. So maybe that's why I don't remember being in front of the board.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and do the motion for, if that's okay.
Yes.
Okay. Based upon the information contained in this investigation report, I move that the board find significant evidence of violation of ARS 36-446.07D3, ARS 44611, AARCR 4-33-407A and DN1 for unprofessional conduct, and complaint number 2022-0539 involving manager John S. Dignanti, and the board offers a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of this matter, will be forwarded to a formal hearing. That consent agreement shall include the following conditions. You're only on the suspension of certification. The stay on suspension as long as the item of the consent agreement are met. Probation will be completed within 3 months. Reimburse the investigation cost of the amount of $542.82. You will take 3 credit hours, which will be personal requirements, and these credit hours will not be applicable for your renewal. And any of the costs of this probation will be felt on the certification holder. Do I have a second?
Second.
Member Brimholm?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
Manager, now we'll get you some paperwork out here.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Okay, we are up to number 6, April Arola Hansen. And I know I didn't say that right, but somebody's super. Hello, please state your name for our record, please.
April Ariel Hansen.
Thank you. All right, Phil.
Okay, this is complaint 2022-NCI-0540. The license is April Ariel Hansen. And on June 14, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Nurse Burney's home located in Chandler. Compliance inspection identified 24 deficiencies in 11 different areas. Ms. Hansen was noticed of the complaint, and she did provide her written response. It was on October 5th, 2022, when DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $2,500 for 5-6 initiated violations. Ms. Hansen is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
You look like you were ready to ask a question.
Ms. Hansen, can you kind of explain 24 deficiencies, what was happening, how long you were managing for the survey?
I had no license, I think, 2015-2016. I managed previous residents a couple of years at a time with no issues. I was hired for this facility back in April of last year. It was a family purchase. Daughter-in-law was purchasing from a mother-in-law. When I went and did my interview, I always interview my clients first, and we kind of discuss, you know, what my role is over there. The owner had indicated that they already had help and assistance from the previous owner that they were staying on. I would contact them once a month to see if they needed me. They said no, everything was fine. I was relying on the trust of the other owner that she sold it to. I wasn't aware there was any issues with anything until I got the notice. When we got the notice, we immediately jumped into action, and I've been over there on a constant basis to make sure all the paperwork is in order. I am finding that the owner is not doing some things that have been a complaint on here, and every time I'm over there, I have asked for like a door lock constantly. Medicine cabinets locked. When I'm not there, so there's still things that are happening. But we have rectified the situation that I am actively involved over in that facility, so this doesn't happen again. But my fear is that it might happen because, like I said, some of the things I see that she's doing, she's not heeding my words, so I'm not sure what to do.
Can you pull your microphone a little bit closer, please? Just so we can make sure everything is heard. But did that answer your question?
Well, if you understand, your license is currently hanging in that home.
Yeah.
We cannot read Vermont to advise you what to do, but I just wanted to have a question, though. Were you there present during the survey?
No, I was not. I wasn't aware of it until after DES had sent me the notification back in October or November.
So is your certificate still at this home?
Yes, it is.
Do you have a second one, a duplicate out?
Yes, I do.
Is it the same owner?
No, it's not. And when we went through, it's a brand new owner also. They don't have any residents at the moment. But when I got the notification of deficiencies on one home, I immediately went to the second home to make sure that they were all up to date. A lot of this was paperwork. She had changed the name of the company and did not give relatively the same name, but they did not re-update any of the paperwork. And I'm not dissolving myself of any responsibility where that I was responsible for it.
The concern, we hear this a lot. Owner, manager. You said you don't know what to do.
If they're not listening and I keep on telling them the same thing.
So the concern for us would be that.
That's not pity. It's thinking that people will change or at least do what's right and compassion, I suppose. I know that's probably not involved, shouldn't be involved, but it is.
You're a fairly new manager, if I recall.
I'm at 7 years.
Huh?
2016.
2016, okay.
So what were you doing? I mean, were you in a closed-hand facility that day, or?
it was just, she just needed a license. And she said she had the backup and the support from the previous owner.
Can you identify what is wrong with that?
A lot is wrong with that. I didn't do my job correctly. Like I said, I'm not taking any, blaming anybody. I take full responsibility for the actions that I did. So since I got this deficiency and it scared the living crap out of you, you change your ways.
How much time are you spending at each house that you manage?
The second license, they do not have any residents there, but I made contact with them once a month. The second one, I'm there twice a week at least, and I'm on call and in communication.
So what do you do when you're there twice a week?
I usually do an inspection, make sure that everybody, you know, all the door from what the previous deficiencies were, make sure those are taken care of and it's not a continuous thing, helping residents. That's pretty much it.
Do you have confidence that this owner is changing?
I'd like to think she is. I think that she's tried her very best to resolve any of the deficiencies that are there. Like I said, some of these deficiencies happened while she was there, like not having the gate locked because it was scratch day, or having the medicine cabinet unlocked with her back turned to it. Those I can't control if I'm not there. I think she's trying.
I mean, my concern is we keep our senior managers come here and they are not spending enough time in the facility that the manager versus the owner kind of thing. As the state, as the NCI board, you are a certified manager and we hold you accountable to the red leaf.
Yes.
To me, I feel like if you're not going to be there, you shouldn't be the manager.
Corrected
that situation so that I am there. Again, we can't advise you what to do.
Correct.
I'd like to make a motion.
Please.
Based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446. 207B3 ARS 44611 AACR 4-33-407 ANB 1 professional conduct in the complaint number 22-0540 involving manager April Iriola Hansen and the board offer a consent agreement be signed within 10 days before the matter will be forwarded to the formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of certificate that stays suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation for 3 months. Reimbursement of the investigative cost in the amount of $542.82. 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director pre-approval required and documented. Or document completion in each of the following areas: medication management, record keeping, service plans, personnel requirements. The named costs of the probation are those of the license certificate holder, and the education hours would not go forward with the education requirements.
Second.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Sorry. Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Nay.
Motion passes.
Can you just make sure that Member Hill is the second?
Yes.
I have one more question. Okay. Is this
when I have my renewal license is coming up, do I put a deficiency when I check when I show up after?
I'm happy to help you with that. We'll send out a consent agreement. We'll decide whether or not to sign it. No changes to your certificate management or manager certificate as far as disclosure or anything like that until that consent agreement is signed. So you're free to renew as you have since 2016. Thanks for coming down today.
Thank you. We're going to take a short recess, 10-minute break.
Okay.
We are back in session. Next up, we have Daniela Cosma. Is that right? Oh, I jumped. Did I jump? You know what? I beg your pardon. You're not ready.
What you can see.
Sorry. Dorina Lazu?
Is number seven?
Wow, my notes are all over the place. Okay, sorry, number seven, Elaine Hardy Hickman. Nope, don't have that one signed in. Dorina Lazu, number eight. No. Amber Tolowitz, number nine. Amber Howlowitz. Huh?
Howlowitz.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I tried to say. Also not present. All right. We did this Howlowitz. Well, guess what? Number 11. You know what? I was like reading into the future. Thank you. State your name for the record, please.
Sure. My name is Daniela Cosma.
Okay. And I guess I can't state that I do know Ms. Cosma, but I do not have any specific knowledge, nor would anything influence a decision that we would make upon hearing this case.
President, I have the same. I know her, but it has nothing to do with this case.
No. So.
Okay, this is complaint 2022-SCI-0559. Licensee is Daniela Cosma, who's present here today. And on April 7, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility complaint investigation as well as a compliance inspection at Grace Hill Ranch located in Phoenix. The complaint investigation identified 9 deficiencies in 5 different areas. Compliance inspection identified 8 deficiencies in 7 different areas. Ms. Cosma provided her written response to the notice of complaint, and on approximately October 31st, 2022, DHS entered into a settlement agreement with the facility, and Ms. Cosma is here today to discuss the compliance inspection and complaint investigation report.
Thank you.
We'll
start with the regulars. Is this a care home?
Yes, it is.
And licensed for how many?
10.
And do you recall how many were present at the time of survey?
9.
Correct. And there's a question. Can you talk through
The manager failed to ensure entries on the medical record were not changed to make the initial entry illegible for 5 of 5 records.
So I have a new inspector that came to the care home to inspect me. I've been a owner of a care home for over 22 years. I never had this kind of inspection that I had last year. They go and pick on everything. I'm not sure on which one she wrote that because she went through, she wanted to conduct 2 residents and she ended up being all over the Mars. There was some whiteout that it was used on the ADLs and the Mars, which I was not aware of because somebody else did them. And she nit and pick on that because she said that we were falsified, that we were not doing the right thing.
Do you know why the records were changed?
I don't remember why.
Thank you.
I have a question, Vice President. Have you educated your staff as to utilization of whiteout versus working through that error?
Yes. So after the inspector, I took every whiteout tape, every whiteout liquid, and threw it out, and I said, my care home will not exist, something like that. And we went through, rewrite the policy, rewrite the forms to make sure that everything matches the service plan, the ADL, everything is, you know, up to today's date. And as a result of that, I just had a special last month, and I'm deficiency free.
That's amazing in and of itself. For some reason, my screen has disappeared and is mad at me.
How did you document administrative medication? How did you guys do it in the facility?
We have ours, so we document every time we pass our medication.
How often do you check ours?
Every shift. And I also do every month audit of all my books.
And how much time do you spend at this location?
I'm frankly live there. More than 40 hours a week.
And is this the only location that you manage?
Yes.
How long have you been manager at this home?
Since I opened in 2012.
What do you think happened during the survey?
There was a fire drill, a fire inspection that I had the same day. And this a new inspector that came in there, she was just all over everything. I mean, she practically called me a liar, a forger, like my caregiver, his certificate is fake and everything. So I don't know, it just must have had a bad day or how did it, a couple months after she did my inspection, she did quit.
She quit?
Yes. She's no longer with VHS.
So let's talk about that. When you bring somebody new on board, what exactly do you do with their file? They're going to present you fingerprint card.
So when I hire somebody, I make them fill out an application. I go through all their personal reference, through all their everything that they write on the application, where they work, and I go through their certification, fingerprint, CPR, TB test to make sure everything is, valid, accurate, active.
When did they come back to resurvey you?
This year?
Uh-huh.
April 5th.
So that was your annual inspection again? Yeah.
Correct.
And there was a hospital there.
And prior to this survey in April of 2022, how was your surveys prior since you've been in this home for quite some time?
I mean, I would have like one or two deficiency, like one the year before, I believe I had a different inspector. I was missing a fire extinguisher tag, just minor little things. I never really had anything that was major or anything that I had to, you know.
Madam Vice President, question for you or staff, if you don't recall, the 2016 consent agreement, was that relative at all to what the surveyor saw?
No.
In this last inspection, where it was different?
Yeah, it was a different, yes.
So, other conversation, the board recommendation might be, I don't know, more than necessary. That's up to the rest of us. In that, zero deficiencies were recorded on this most recent survey. So we can, I don't know if we presume lessons learned or upping the game from all of us. I mean, people have been in business a long time. DHS maybe has changed the playing field a bit. But anyway, other thoughts? Education, the whole thing. I know y'all have something to say.
Do we have documentation of the recent survey zero deficiency?
Right here. Yeah.
Can you hand that to Mr. Smith there, please?
Is that relevant?
Not relevant.
Vice President, members of the board, bad day, different surveyor, it doesn't change the deficiencies that surveyors saw and that for which DHS took their action. And there was an action. So in hindsight, you can say, okay, yeah, you had a great survey, but it doesn't change the things that happened that day, and then DHS took a disciplinary action. So while the survey, the recent survey in April, may be a mitigating factor, my suggestion would be to place your decision on the investigative report that you have in front of you, and what may or may not have happened in the time of that survey.
Fair. So for me, that part of that decision would be the recommendation to complete the entire manager program versus some additional education in certain topics.
Madam Vice President, if you're thinking about changing the motion, I would just encourage that the training includes service plans and med management. Two of the service plans weren't completed. One was signed 3 months after the family member signed it. One was for a dementia resident, and there weren't any plans or goals for their care. I find them to be just a little bit, I would just want to see some, you know, training or, you know, some, what's the word, professional reflection around those items and why they matter, and I think training is the only platform we have for that. So if the agreement is that maybe the full exam is too much, I'd love to see some training around service plans and that thing.
Choose to make a motion.
Madam Vice President, I will make a motion based on the information contained in the investigative report. I move that the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446-07-B3, ARS 446-07-B4,
46-10 and AACR 4-33-407A and B1 from professional conduct and complaint number 2022-MCI-0559 involving manager Daniela Cosma. And the board offered a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of certificate, the state of suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of the investigative cost in the amount of $601.33. And that the training to be completed within the 3 months includes medication management, pardon me, and service plans. This training will not count towards the annual renewal.
And are we adding that that's 3 hours of continuing education in those two topics with the executive director's pre-approval required and documentation completion in each of the following areas, which were service plan and med management?
Yes, so moved. Sorry, Madam Chair, I don't see the 3 hours in because we keep forgetting to add it.
And any costs of the probation are those of the certificate holder?
Yes.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Is this your original?
No, you can have it. Thank you.
Member Cook, we'll send you some paperwork. Thank you.
All right. Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Next up, Claudia Marview. This is not here, not signed in. Moving on to Joyce Tate. That was number 13, Joyce Tate. How about number 14, Cindy Gilbert Payton? Please state your name.
Cindy Gilbert Payton.
Okay, this is complaint 2022-NCI-0564. I'd like to see Cindy Gilbert Payton, who's present here today. And on August 18, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Surprise Memory Care located in Surprise. They also conducted two complaint investigations at the same time. The compliance inspection identified 8 deficiencies in 7 different areas. The complaint investigation identified 3 deficiencies in 2 different areas. Ms. Payton was notice of the complaint, and she did provide a written response. On approximately October 5th, 2022, DHS took enforcement action on the compliance inspection deficiencies when they imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 for 2 substantiated violations. One day earlier, October 4th, 2022, they addressed the compliance inspection and took enforcement action when they imposed a civil money penalty of $750 for 2 substantiated violations. And in reference to complaint investigation, one of those substantiated violations was a reading deficiency. And Ms. Gilbert Payton is here today to discuss the matter.
Thank you. Is this a center?
Yes.
License for how many?
84.
And how many were present, approximately?
Probably around 50.
Okay. And how long have you been managing there?
4 years. Just over 4 years.
Okay, so you own these. Things that stand out were about behavioral care versus behavioral health services for one of the residents, that you maintain somebody and the service plan did not reflect that they were a behavioral care individual?
It was a difference between behavioral care versus behavioral services. We didn't have the proper documentation. I had gone through a couple nurses and probably three nurses during that period, during that year. So there were a few things that was lacking. The company at the time was all of my support staff, or not support, all of my support regionals and everybody at the corporate office had basically left the bill, left the company. The company was going into bankruptcy, and then we were purchased last year.
And so is it the nurse's determination then that it was in error, or the documentation?
The documentation.
Okay.
Vice Chair, may I ask such a question? Thank you for being present today also. So you're still at the facility?
I am.
So the survey happened, and then they also did two complaint surveys also. And those two were both dismissed by APS? They didn't find it to be substantiated.
Correct.
Madam Vice President, so the enforcement action on the complaints investigation was a repeat deficiency in the area of independent clearance cards?
Yes. I had a business office manager that was not verifying them. I had offered additional training and additional support. I had someone helping her, and it's still, she missed somebody.
How often are you going in to review those records or audit?
I had just audited everybody back like in January of that year, last year.
And so your plan of correction, what does it say in reference to this auditing process? If somebody else is responsible for onboarding, how often are you auditing?
Well, I was auditing once a year, and then I put in other things in place, like even a checkoff list I have to sign off on before the file. But now with the new, we have a new ownership, and now everything is uploaded in a database, so there's no room for error. You know, it shows everybody whether you have all your documents or you don't have all your documents.
But I guess we did ask the question, how many hours a week do you spend there?
Probably about 60.
I'm going to do a motion.
Yep,
you guys are ready. I'm going to move that the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 202-NIC-0564. Against manager Cindy Gilbert Hazen.
Second.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Member Hill.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay. Number 15, Chandler Call. And if you would please state your name.
I'm Chandler Call.
Thank
you for being here. Oh. Okay, this is complaint 2022-NCI-0576. License is Chandler Call, who's present here today. On September 13, 2022, DHS conducted two assisted living facility complaint investigations at North Scottsdale Assisted Living, located in Scottsdale. Complaint investigations identified four deficiencies in three different areas. Mr. Call was a notice of the complaint, but as of the date of this report, April 17, 2013, he had not provided the required written response. On approximately November 16, 2022, DHS took enforcement action, imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for one substantiated violation, and Mr. Call is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
And have we since received a written response?
I don't know. Once I've voted on it.
Okay. I guess the question is, first of all, is there a reason that you did not respond?
So I was not aware that that was bifurcated. That happened at the same time as the regular compliance survey happened. And my manager, I made sure that she submitted documentation for both, and we came to the first part of that. As I'm not the manager, but I still came with her in support, I didn't realize that there was separate documentation required for this of me as licensee, but I'm happy to give whatever is needed.
So we have you as the manager of record, but you said there's another manager?
So I'm not. I think that was the issue with, is it Ken? That we were identifying, I think it was late last year. I've never been the manager of record. I don't use my certificate. It's like I've got administrator certificates from different states, but it's a CEO of a healthcare company. I don't use any of them.
So you got a notice of complaint from the board?
Yes, I got. Well, I believe it was.
What did it tell you to do?
The board. If you choose to attend the board meeting and have already submitted a response, please come prepared to discuss the allegations if the board meeting wishes to speak with you.
That's what today's meeting. Do you have the notice of complaint on this case?
I don't remember getting anything prior to this.
It was mailed to you on December 7th.
So I'm not aware that it may very well have happened, I'm not sure, but I'm happy to supply anything that's necessary. I work with the manager that actually is at the facility to get whatever's necessary.
Well, the problem is we had you as the manager of record, so the case was opened on you, and you never contacted us to tell us you weren't the manager. So how are we supposed to know this about you?
So I was asked to appear because of however this is set up. We've never changed how the facility is set up. I was present at the time of the initial inspection where everything was arranged. We discussed in quite a bit of detail with the surveyor that the manager at the time she was the manager already. She still is. So we had discussed, I just got the notice to appear and I thought I would.
Madam Chair, members of the board, I would ask, because there does appear a little discrepancy. Why don't you let staff come back and investigate this a little further and table this, and that will allow, is it administrator?
Oh. I'm administrator, yeah.
But you don't use your certificate?
Oh, I don't use any professional certificates in the state of Arizona, no.
We'll allow Mr. Call to respond if he wants to, if he thinks he needs to, and we'll bring this back at a future meeting.
So can I just clarify? I just want to understand what my responsibilities.
We're going to investigate that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So, if you were there originally, we'll probably be looking at whether or not you responded to DHS, what role you took in that, and decide whether or not you were acting as a manager also.
Okay, I'm going to do a motion at the table till the UNICA board gets to investigate. Make sure you have the correct address and you get a letter. Please follow up. If you don't understand, please call.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm down.
Sure. I'll second.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coburn?
Aye.
Motion passes.
And DHS has you listed as the administrator.
So I'm not.
So you might want to talk chat with them about that as well.
Okay. Is that possible that they change at some point? Because we have a change.
I can't answer that. I'm not DHS.
They have me as the administrator, for sure, the person. The license is approving.
Okay. Right. I don't know. We told her exactly what was happening. I hired a manager from the very beginning.
Okay. Who owns the facility?
I own the facility.
That's why I wrote this on the DHS paper.
Okay.
So they will call him an administrator, even though that's not licensed by us.
He's an administrator on their terms because he's the one who's being licensed for the facility, right?
So he is not a licensed
manager.
Right.
In many cases, he's not. We'll start.
Okay. All right. Sorry for the confusion.
Who is the manager?
Sharon Powell, still the manager.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Next up, number 16, Eunice Wavamba. Hello. Can you go ahead and state your name, so.
Eunice Wavamba.
Okay,
this is complaint 2022-NCI-0577. Licensee is Eunice Obama, who's present here today. And on September 7th, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection as dignified assisted living located in Avondale. Compliance inspection identified 8 deficiencies in 4 different areas. One of the deficiencies, however, was a repeat deficiency. Ms. Obama was notice of this complaint and she did provide her written response. And on approximately November 3rd, 2022, DHS took enforcement action and impose a civil money penalty of $250 for one substantiated repeat violation. And Ms. Wabolva is here today to discuss the compliance inspection.
Thank you. Is this a home or a center?
It's a home.
Licensed for how many?
5.
And how many were present at survey?
5.
And how much time do you spend there?
At least approximately 30 hours a week.
And do you manage another location?
No. I do not.
And how long have you been the manager here?
Since I opened it, about 7 years.
7 years, yeah.
Chairman, I'm going to ask a question, if that's okay. Help me understand what happened on the repeat of medications.
Yeah, so we're trying to work on various issues. I think the first issue was, the medication box is not locked. That was the first issue. The small med box resolved that. The second issue at the time of meds was the caregiver couldn't have taken a person's medication and put it in a cabinet and was not locked. So we resolved that issue. The third issue now is that we have the med sheets and the group home. Plus, we also have the med sheets that are actually ordered by physicians. And sometimes in transition of phases, then transfer those meds from the orders onto the med sheets of meds. And we discovered that one of the problems that we're having is that we have clients that are strictly on hospice, where hospice comes in, they change the medications, they also fill the med box. And so what we're realizing from time to time, they were not telling us when something changed. When they had a meeting and decided, oh, this patient does not need this medication anymore because we don't see any changes. And I got to the point with this last deficiency where I did actually call the CEO and say, you know what, your nurses can't keep doing this. Whenever there's a change, you have to let us the group know. We have to have orders. We have to have this process in place because I'm getting these vacation holidays and fly nations nonstop. And if this continues, we'll just have to see how it will work better with the companies. What we agreed to do now is that whenever there's any kind of change, the nurse will actually contact us and let us know this change happens, give us the orders. At the same time, at the end of each month, we have a monthly check sheet, so they would actually look at that to verify that what we're inputting there is actually correct based on what she's actually putting in the pill boxes. And I also said that, you know, for the next 6 months, I actually want to halt. I don't want them to come in and do the pill box anymore. When the meds come in, I don't want to be able to check those meds. I want to get them to do that myself so we get on the right track. And we think that will help us solve this problem when the survey comes in. You know, and again, it's just a one man thing. It's just like, oh my God, here we go again. You know, but it needs to be done that way because they have a high turnover and we're constant, but their turnover is constant. Whatever we put in place, and the nurse comes in today, feels and says, no, what is going on? So I said, please leave the med boxes for us. We'll take care of that, you know, in the group home if you help us deal with these med issues. Because it's really, it's embarrassing, but it has to be done. And so with that, we think we can really address the problem. You look at our monthly med sheets when you come in there, stay for a few minutes, not just 5 minutes, but Medicare pays you more than 5 minutes, look at our med sheets, look at what we have, and make sure it's correct, and then we'll see if we can solve this problem.
And so did you say that you are now packing medicines?
I am packing medicines.
Or supervising that process?
No, I am doing that myself.
You're physically doing it?
Yes, I'm doing it myself, yeah. And then I have the medication list, and when the nurse comes in, I say, this is what we have from the doctor, and this is what came in from the pharmacy. These are the things. This does a job.
So you're doing a cross-reference with the nurse?
Exactly.
Okay, so we also have a failure to get the documentation 90 days before that clarifies whether they should be in assisted living or don't need continuous medical services. How have you corrected that? Or
right.
How did that happen?
Yeah, that's, again, with a patient that came in didn't have a power of attorney or, you know, have a, was also another one of the hospice clients as well, too. So again, we agree with the social worker that with those packages, we need to be filled out before they come in the home because we can't have that done before they come in. Regardless if the situation is urgent or not, they must make sure to fill out that information because again, we have that violation on our hands. So the bill is discharged. I am the owner, I am the manager, and I take our responsibilities. I don't have anybody in between, so I'm trying to work on clarifying those issues.
How long have you been a manager?
Since I opened the home, about 7 years.
And I see a previous consent agreement in 2018 from us. Contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 446.11, AACR 4-33-407A, and B1 from professional conduct and complaint number 2022-0577 involving manager Eunice Lobaba. And the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days or the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of certificate, but stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative cost in the amount of $524.82. 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required and document completion in each of the following areas. Medication management. A
other terms would be that these do not count for your continuing education renewal hours. Any cost of probation are those of the certificate holder.
I second the motion.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Okay, number 17. Marion
Alcorta.
Thank you. I was dyslexic all of a sudden.
Does not appear to be
here. Not here. Moving on. Number 18. Irvin Chapada. Awesome. Number 19, Catherine Sardella.
This is not.
They're not here? They're not here. Everybody's afraid of us. Okay. Do we want to handle those and vote them through with the recommendation that's been given?
Yes.
Okay. Then I make a motion to, do I need to name them? Do I need to number them?
It would help.
Would help?
Yes.
Somebody.
Do you want me to go through what I have?
Yes.
So this is 6A, agenda item 6A. I have number 4, number 7, number 8. Okay. I think we're good. So it's 6A, 4, 7, 8, 9, 12, 13, 17, 18, and 19 for the block vote.
Okay. I make a motion that we accept the recommendations from our investigator and move forward with that for the consent agenda to be mailed to each of those individuals.
I second.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to 6B, staff recommendation for non-disciplinary letters of concern. Are any of these people here to be heard?
I have number 5 that had checked in. That's the only one that I have. Claudia
Upgrid.
I know I don't look like Claudia. Yeah,
you don't look anything. Well, I mean, hey, it's okay. Are you this individual?
I'm Catalino Britescu, the father, administrator, and also manager designee.
And yeah. Where is Miss Claudia?
Claudia has to go to Romania. Her grandmother is very sick in the hospital.
Okay.
She might lost.
Well, we appreciate you being here, but it's her we need to hear from. So
I want to show respect to you guys. And
we appreciate that.
I have a little bit of flu. If you want, I take my mask out. But
we appreciate that. I would think that we still move forward with the letter of concern. That's what's listed here. And Ms. Claudia can decide what to do when she gets back if she chooses to challenge that. She can sign it. I mean, actually, it's not a discipline. So it would just be a letter of concern, as stated. So then with that in mind, let's block vote for items 1 through 10 on the letter of concern as recommended.
Can we just double check? Is there anybody else here for 6B? that may not have signed into the meeting? Okay, thank you.
Okay, so my motion stands.
Okay. Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coburn?
Aye.
Motion passes.
So, sir, the board issued a non-disciplinary letter of concern on that case. We appreciate you coming down. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
Okay. We are up to 6C. Does anybody have any of these that they would like to discuss further?
I'm going to recuse myself from number one.
Okay, so when we vote, we will exclude that temporarily.
We have several people here that signed in. Do you want to go to those first? Madam Vice Chair.
Yeah, we're going to hear them.
I have number 2, number 9, 10, and 19 that has signed in.
2, 9, 10, and 19.
How can
19? Never mind. How can we even vote on 18 if there's no manager to name?
And also, just to let the board know, we did get a postponement request on number 15 late Friday.
Was that granted?
No. Anytime, and just so the board knows, anytime I post the agenda, which is Wednesday through Friday of the week before, if we get a postponement in, my standard advice is, what I tell people, that the agenda's already posted. If you want to put your postponement in front of the board, you can come down on Monday and do that. Because it's too late in the game. We've already sent out notice letters several weeks before Monday, and everybody wants to do it at the last minute. We just don't have the capacity to be able to handle all that. So, Manager Carrillo was advised that I would let the board know that he had asked for a postponement, and you can decide whether or not to grant that.
Super.
Thank you.
And it's up for dismissal anyway.
That is correct.
Concerning number 18.
Yes.
This is going to happen. Cases will be open where there is no manager. So, or does that have any jurisdiction?
Okay. So that's why it's on the dismissal list?
Yeah, on memo I, because it's been assigned a case, a request for it to clear it out. So.
Okay.
And also, Executive Director, that we cannot dismiss this case or take off the agenda because we have to apply our rights for local open law.
Yeah. Understood. Okay. So are we going to hear from Andrea Soto?
That was his idea. We can do roll call, we can dismiss all if we'd like, and then they don't have to come before.
Vice President Archer, we have the complainant here for Andrea Soto, not the respondent.
Fair enough.
We can get a motion for all the other cases.
Okay.
And then
okay. Is that the only
that I'm aware of, yes.
Complainant that is here? Okay. Okay, then I'm going to make a motion to approve the dismissal of 6C items 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 16, 17, actually I said 2, I removed 2. So items 3 through 23 for dismissal.
So moved.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coburn?
Aye.
Motion passes.
We're going to go back to item number one, in which case Ms. Brimhall is recused for this vote. I would move that we dismiss item C1.
I second that motion.
Did you want a staff report on that? You want to look at that one any closer?
Nobody has pulled it out.
Okay.
And Ms. Brimhall is recused.
Vice President Archer?
Did we get a second on that?
Member Felix.
Thank you. Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay. Now we're going to move to 6C, number 2, with Andrea Soto. So, I think we still have to outline this.
Yeah, good morning. Can we have an introduction, please?
Oh, okay. Yes.
My name is Maria Sanabalidas.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, this is complaint 2022-NCI-0510. The licensee is Andrea Soto. He was invited to today's meeting, but does not appear to be in attendance. The complainant is Maria Avidas, who is present here today. And on November 18, 2022, Ms. Avilas, the daughter of a former resident at Family First Assisted Living in Tucson, filed a complaint with the board via the board's portal. Her allegations included that medication was not administered as prescribed, denial of medical appointments outside the facility, residents suffered unexplained swelling, as well as malnutrition and dehydration. Ms. Soto was noticed of the complaint, and she did provide a response. In her response, she noted that Adult Protective Services conducted an investigation but did not substantiate the allegations of neglect and closed their case in November 2022, and that Adult Protective Services also conducted two complaints and closed both cases with the findings as unsubstantiated, and that they found no fault with the care home. And although Ms. Soto was invited to today's meeting, she's not intended to answer the allegations. Maybe Ms. Davis can give the board some more details as to what her concerns were.
Great. We have this in front of us, but maybe you can sort of briefly tell us what led to you finding complaints.
Okay. I just prepare a statement, so okay. I'm going to help you get centered.
Sure.
And then we can,
you can read that. That would be great.
Thank you. I'm just the board. Thank you for your time and for affording us the opportunity to speak. We are but one family, but we are and will always belong to a large and growing community as the loved ones of people who suffer. Illnesses that require care from licensed vendors. Facilities and people that have been deemed safe, valuable, skilled by various licensing bodies, agencies, and insurance companies to provide that which we can no longer do competently for our fathers and mothers and loved ones. The system is broken when even one person, in this case our dad, was allowed to sit in the corner out the gate, head all the way back, pulse racing, arms swollen with fluids, and when asked why no one called emergency services, much less the family, the response was, thought about it. We'll never know how long my dad sat in that corner in that condition. Our father was ill. He
is 81, but his last missing days on the search required care both figuratively and literally by administering medications as prescribed by nutritious and adequate amounts of food, quenched his thirst, and shown compassion. This is not when he received a family first assisted living home in Tucson, Arizona, under the license and management of Andrea and Ms. Sopa. Ms. Sopa is the license holder, but the process designated by her, Jim and Mary Gugina, who do not hold licenses of their own, which she entrusted to manage the daily operations and care of family first, were negligent. And when the state of Arizona and Mercy Care started asking questions, they confronted my brother. Did you report us? We've been asked questions by the state. This has happened before, and they've never found anything. Who would make a statement like that? Probably someone molded by lack of accountability. By choosing to dismiss this case, they've been proven right. Questions get asked, nothing is found. Rinse and repeat. When I speak of negligence, that's not my classification, although I agree. That was a professional assessment given by a licensed nurse who practices in this arena of care. She assessed our father at Brookdale on November 3rd, 2022. We were desperately trying to remove dad from family first when the red flags continued to mount. Unfortunately, Brookdale did not feel equipped to provide adequate care. The intake nurse was in tears after my father left and shared with the sales manager that she wanted to report to the state's condition because she had not seen his neglect as bad in 9 years. It's for the sake of all who are currently in someone else's care, and for those that are just beginning this woeful march, reconsider the choice to dismiss. Family First continues to issue the rules and regulations. They have citations for AZDHS reason since March 2023 involving personnel, staffing, which to me says safety, service plans, which to me says quality of care. These people will continue to lax practices of care if someone, a board, the department, does not conduct a thorough investigation of who's employed there on and off the books, their qualifications, and their practices. Thank you.
Anybody have any questions?
Vice President, I just want to thank Ms. Soto for coming, sharing what I know is
obvious.
Oh, obvious, sorry, I apologize. A painful chapter in your family's life. I too had a parent in memory care and in hospice, and there were many things that I wish could have been changed. But the process must find something that can be documented and proven. And I stand alongside you and the family, just hoping that we can see care for all of our loved ones be as great as care everyone would want for their mom and dad. It's going to take a lot of different pieces to get there. Money, training, good intent. But for what it's worth, you know, there are a lot of people who earnestly look into these complaints. And I hope you'll keep sharing this story.
May I say also, just sitting here, I became more and more educated. Unfortunately, most of the learning that happens is when you're already in the thick of it, in this case, my dad, right? Like, for example, in the last few days, and especially sitting here, I didn't know their manager. I don't mean to speak to the people who are present, but to be almost completely absent and just kind of post a frame on the wall, and that's good enough. That's the part that kept popping into my head was that Ms. Soto was never in this home.
But I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh, okay, so this happened sometime. My father was there all throughout the summer and the fall, and my brother, my mother, my other brother, they never met her. So when I found out that she was a license holder, I was like, how's that possible? Right? But now I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, I get it. When I looked her up, I'm not going to remember, I looked a lot of things up, and I found there's another home that she manages. And like I said, we received citations from, you know, just as recently as March, and the other home, it's the same. There's someone with dementia there. They're jumping over a wall. So I mean, it disheartens me. You know, I think, especially you know, you're constantly making decisions that really are life and death for your loved one, and you're trying to make the best ones that you can. And sometimes when you're looking back, you have to forgive yourself for it, because you only knew what you knew then. But I know a lot now, you know, and so, yeah, I will, I've spoken to Representative Longden, who's pushing bills for us to assess systems and find out, you know, if we're not even capable of providing adequate care for certain populations like dementia right now. Like, what's that going to look like in the future? How can we better prepare? And these systems, you know, I used to work for the state for another administration, so I was kind of aware of rules and regs, and I've worked for the city, and I've worked for the federal government, so I understand there's a lot of, you know, intricacies when it comes to licenses. So that's how I started to look and seek, but I don't think the average citizen would do that, and I'm not being helpful in that process, you know, moving forward for other families to understand, like, these are your points, this is what's going to happen, this is what's not going to happen, this is where you need to be more forceful in that direction.
I'm curious how it is that APS and even Department of Health Services did not substantiate any complaints. Because they were the ones, I mean, we haven't had the opportunity to go to the location to see anything, but they did and didn't substantiate. And since, I mean, they're sort of the our boots on the ground, so to speak, of the front line, and they didn't find anything necessarily wrong or negligent with the care that was provided, which would certainly give me pause in how we would handle this particular manager.
Well, like, one in particular, like, an event that stands out to me that was like, how can that not be documented, was when they were not allowing my dad to leave to see a dentist. And I included that in when I submitted to you all, to your board, because we documented it with the case managers from Mercy Care. It went into the state system somehow, because then the response from the people living in there, so the Juvedas, they don't hold a license, but they are the provider. So I'm learning here, okay, that's normal. People that may be the owners may be providing service, but they're not the license holders. So I get it. There was a whole discussion on back and forth between my brother, between the case manager, the other person here, between them. Like, that has to be documented somewhere. So how could you not substantiate that? And it wasn't until they got a call that we got on to say, no, you can't do that. You can't deny this person outside of care. That it, and I, it's in your attachment in the appendix, but I'm gonna summarize here. But it basically was like, well, guess what? Good news. The state called us and said, you can take him now. But I mean, that's on your own. Before that, they were like, no, you can't take him out of here. You're gonna have to find a new place for him.
And what I read though is that their response was because he had active COVID. At that time,
he did not. There should be a test of documents if he doesn't have active COVID.
Okay.
They also, that was, I don't want to allege it because that was then what they said was the reason. Well, we don't have space for him to be by himself, quarantined, should he contract COVID.
Oh, I see.
And so my brother was like, but the dentist is following all protocols that are currently in place. Like, it's a safe environment. Like, they've kind of been doing this for a while now, you know, because you were well underway in terms of COVID. But then when they got the call from Mercy Care in the state, they were like, okay, what do you think? But guess what? We gave him a Snickers, and he didn't seem to have pain. So why are you really needing to take him to the dentist? You know, so the other thing, too, and where sometimes I think culture comes into play, and this is something with Alzheimer's that I really want to emphasize, is that, you know, we're Mexican-American. I'm Mexican-American. My parents are from Mexico. I was born here. And there's sometimes a lot of deference that's given to who should know, like the professionals. That is true. But then there's also the things that just should naturally, like, raise up their spidey senses, right? Like, well, that doesn't seem right. Or, well, why can't my father go see a dentist? And how's that any different from them having to go see a cardiologist or a neurologist because of the part? Oh, are we going to have this fight every time? So, I mean, ultimately, my dad did pass away on November 26th, so.
Sorry for your loss.
I have a question, too, which it's weird to ask you.
The board may not be able to answer your question.
Okay.
But you can ask.
Homes? Do they have to be owned by the owners that live there, or can they be like entities like LLCs?
That's a question. That
the board can't, that's my question.
Well, the board can't give legal advice or advise our statutes or rules, whether it's ours or DHS's. So it's not a forum where we can do that, unfortunately. But thank you for asking.
Well, unfortunately, the situation is at hand, and thank you for bringing this to our attention. I do feel, you know, very sad to hear of the situation. But unfortunately, sometimes facilities for group homes have to have just the one spokesperson for whoever the legal guardian is, and then also be on Mercy Care. Sometimes that takes a bunch of time to jump through some hoops to get the authorization, even though that they may need to see a specialist or go out of the home, or to see if you can have resources brought into the home. So that takes a little bit of time. But unfortunately, because of other professional agencies that have dismissed all of this, I have to make a motion that we have to dismiss this. And but you know what, like Ms. Hill said, you know, continue to be an advocate for you and for your family and for all, you know, mankind to be an advocate. I'm a strong believer in being an advocate.
Is that a motion?
That was
a motion.
I do have to agree and second that motion, but I also wanted to share with you that I feel that very much. I appreciate and understand your resilience and why you're here today. But given the facts, we are responsible for maintaining our professional judgment as well. So Godspeed.
Member Brimholm?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Hill?
No.
Member Campbell? Member Campbell? Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Coburn?
Aye.
Motion passes.
We still have more of these.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. We'll record that as an abstain for now.
Okay. I don't think so. Are you on the agenda?
Yes, but I just thought that was dismissed.
Okay. Well, staff will help you. After we get done, thank you.
Okay.
Do you
want to
reopen the case?
No. I just want to know who it is, I guess.
On your toes,
I want to know. Oh, yeah. I mean, do we want to know who this is so we can tell her? Listen. Okay.
All right. Then we are up to item 7, which is our board president report. Did he submit something?
No, it's not even the board vice president report today.
This is 6C.
Our question was
6C.
Numbers.
6C. Were all dismissed.
Well, we can leave?
You just gave numbers, but you didn't say it was Eden's her name, so she didn't get a chance to speak.
It was she in 6C?
Yes, to speak. She's number.
Do you have something to share that would change our mind from dismissing you?
I just
dismissed
her.
Ask the
question,
please. We dismissed
the complaint. Yeah. I need to ask the question.
You know, we already moved on. We're going to have to come to the next session. We are on to the executive report.
I'm so sorry. No, but you didn't let her know you were moving on from her name. You said the numbers.
Her case, her. All of those cases were dismissed.
Well, that's good.
That is great. That is good. Congratulations.
I think I already said that staff would address your question, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I'll be right with you. We have an agenda to complete.
Yes.
Thank you.
So the one that was this.
Thank you.
Do we mean?
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, president's report. Do we have? Or is that going to be at another time?
Do you have any kind of vice president's report?
I wasn't asked to prepare a vice president's report.
So that's a no.
That
so we can move on to the next item.
That would be a no. I just wanted to check that I wasn't supposed to read.
No.
Okay, how about an executive director? Do you have a report?
I don't.
You're on the agenda.
I have let me get my materials open.
You've not had time.
I haven't.
Have a conflict of interest.
Yeah, I have a lot of conflicts. Maybe, do you have a report?
I don't. We're coming up on the end of the fiscal year, so we're closely monitoring our budget. but no, I really don't have anything.
Is that June 30th?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah.
The case review, I did include printouts of the open cases. Last count, I believe there were 356 open cases. That might have changed a little between now and when these reports were printed. There are at least 5 or 6 hearings set up for June, and those are non-compliance with consent agreements for people that haven't signed consent agreements. And that seems to be the thing that is kind of prolonging some of our case statistics right now. When it gets to hearing and don't sign that consent, it seems to prolong to a year or more. So we've got to catch up on those a little between now and the end of the year. Stuff coming in the front door, I'm currently pleased with. Phil and Al have been writing tons of reports, and we're starting to cut down on that backlog. We just got another referral from DHS on Friday. I don't know if we've had time to see how many new cases come in, but it's usually between about 50 and 75 each month. And with these meetings that we're having every month, we're keeping steady. We're starting to reduce a little bit of that time on the cases. So I don't have anything else unless you have questions.
No, I want to thank you guys also because I know this is a renewal time also for the assistant certification and making sure that everyone is submitting all their documents the first time, maybe not, to make sure that the renewal and the payment are all there. So thank you for that's just another token that you need to toot your horn and say that is a lot of work.
And I can't, you know, the lion's share of that is Danita. And Jane, Eileen, and Stacy. They have been doing an awesome job with that. And it's little things with renewals. You send in your fingerprint card with a renewal, and the system cuts it off in half. And then you have to resend that in again. It's those little things that make a big difference and take a little staff time, but they're following up on everything. And Jane's putting up with me. Aren't you, Jane?
I am.
You know?
She deserves a raise.
So,
I agree.
And Eileen's doing the training program renewals right now, doing a really good job of that too. So I have no complaints with anything that anybody's doing right now. It's all helpful. Danita talked about the budget. We're close.
We are.
I mean, we're probably under $5,000 for the end of the fiscal year. But we've had a lot of moving changes this year as far as the appropriations. So we're still within budget. License and investigation statistics. I did give printouts of these. The number of managers has gone up a little this quarter, the total number of certified managers. And the number of administrators has gone up slightly, about 1 or 2% over last year. But it remains pretty steady. I think about 381. I don't have it up in front of me. So that's remained relatively steady. Let's see here. The online training program rules. We did submit them. We got the governor's second approval for submittal to GIRC. I may have mentioned this last month. The GIRC meeting, the study committee meeting, is at the end of this month, and it should be at the full GIRC meeting on June 6th, I believe, for approval. And it will be an immediate approval for the online manager caregiver training programs. So was started last year in about September or so.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get done by June. So I know people are looking forward to that. Auditor General, we're at the 36-month follow-up. We've sent them all of our information on cases, so we'll see if we've met all their requirements. I'm really hoping they give us the final sign-off on this this time, and we'll be done with that Auditor General report from 2020. They kind of slowed their roll a little bit. They have some other priorities they're working with, so I was expecting to have an update for today, but they asked for a couple more weeks to finish their review. And then the last thing I have is I mentioned Senate Bill 1333. We're getting the date changed for implementation of the FBI fingerprint background checks, the cards. So what was January, should have been January 1st of this year for implementation, was extended because FBI didn't give us the ability to get any information. They haven't approved our ability for submitting fingerprint cards or the national background check.
So is it extended?
I asked for a date. So Senate Bill 1333 is to change that January 1st, 2023 date to July 1st, 2025 for the implementation or sooner. So as soon as the FBI says you can have your fingerprint and your NCIC information, we can get up and rolling.
Okay.
But we're not able to comply with the technical part of that statute because FBI hasn't approved it. And that has been sitting over there since the fall of last year. So hopefully that'll go through. Chairman Montenegro was nice enough to do an amendment on Senate Bill 1333. I think I checked late last week and it finally started moving again. I think it got transmitted back to the Senate. My legislative expert over here did it get transmitted? I don't even know if it's been set for any hearings over there or anything.
Transmitted to the Senate, not scheduled.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
So, can I ask a question? So when we finally finish the fingerprint, we'll have that in the database, so that'll be the key. And then because next year, 2024, all our licenses will now do on our birthday, so that will change also, and you guys will give out like reminders
like you do now.
So, are you talking about the fingerprint clearance card or the...
Well, the fingerprint clearance card with the FBI, that's going to be changing also with the database, so you'd have to work with someone from IT to sit here and change that format. To sit here and tabulate that, correct, once we get that up and going.
To entirely separate, different
apps. Oh, so this one is just the fingerprints for when they apply.
And we've taken, we haven't been, to your point, the fingerprint clearance cards are on a 6-year schedule, I think. We don't run reports in our database to see whether or not they're active right now. We've taken a position, the staff has taken a position of, it's there, the mandate is that you have one that's active at all times when you're practicing as a manager or administrator. That's your job to make sure compliance of that. The only time that we get involved with that is when we get a revocation or a hit on a fingerprint clearance card, which DPS sends us automatically, and you'll see that in cases. We've seen one or two cases where one has been revoked or red flagged as far as the revocation of that. The background, the national background check is only for initial licensing. So that's the only time it's going to come up.
Okay.
So if you currently hold a manager license or an administrator license or a certificate and you keep that active, you're not going to have to worry about the fingerprint background check.
The full background check.
Right.
So we're grandfathered in, so to speak, forever and ever, as long as it doesn't lapse.
And the grandfathers, because you have to have a fingerprint clearance card, if anybody in the district, we get notified of it automatically if there's an arrest.
Right.
So it really is a closed loop.
Okay.
I don't have anything further unless there's any questions for anybody.
Questions?
Maybe our assistant attorney general has a report.
Do you have a report?
I do, but since it's not on the agenda, it would be inappropriate for me not to.
See, he's just too quick.
That was good.
Thank you, everybody.
We are adjourned. 12:15.
Everyone else has left the call.